Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. I am Big Papa Squid. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson.
Penix.
And she is the first lady of baseball in the city of Atlanta, the founder of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. And with our forces combined, this is the morning shift.
I liked it. Captain Planet.
That first lady of baseball is going to be the thing.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can go with that.
I'm glad you love it because I thought of it literally as I said it.
There you go.
You're like, man, as I do most things that come out of my mouth.
They're like, that's an instant classic. I got to go back to that.
Yeah.
I love it, man. That's actually a really good way to put it, man.
Oh, I know. That's why I said it.
How are you feeling this morning? Because you look slightly sleep deprived, but.
Well, I'm actually.
It's Friday.
I got good sleep again. I think that's why I'm sleep deprived. I don't think I'm sleep deprived. I think for the second night in a row, Pork Chop and me made it to my alarm. And
Dude,
I don't know how to feel about that.
Man. That's massive. That is massive.
But it's almost like you're used to not getting sleep, so now you've gotten too much sleep.
Yeah.
And it's like, throwing you completely off.
Like a grogginess that comes along with it.
Yeah, well, First Lady, you're spot on. Because, yesterday we get done with the show, and I told Amy, I was like, hey, I'm gonna run to the gym real quick because I don't get to go that much right now. I've gone like my fourth time in the last 3 weeks. And she said, all right. And I get back, and Pork Chop's doing good. I eat, and I fall asleep for like an hour and a half. And So now I'm almost, to your point, like my sleep is now screwed up the wrong way. Because, yeah. I mean, I wasn't sleeping full nights before the baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now
there's
she's an oversaturation. Here, and it's like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Now there's an oversaturation when it comes to the Z's, man. That's a good thing. It's a good thing with a how many days old is she now?
I guess 14. Another four? So like 18 days.
Yeah. Well, too much math.
After he just said he's groggy, we're like, let's do some math.
Hey, let's put it together. No big deal, man. But I'm glad she's sleeping though, dude. I can't tell you how massive that is. I mean, I still have nights where my kids wake up and they're 4.5 and 3.
Well, It's funny because yesterday was a day of first for her. She slept through the night for the first time. Relatively speaking.
Sure.
And we had two little chairs for her. We had like a little rocky, like bouncy type chair that the Contis had given us, which was like her favorite thing ever. She loved it. And then we had this other chair that kind of you turned on and it moved and it turned and it played music and she hated, just despised it.
Really?
And I went downstairs to do something and I came upstairs and she was sitting in it just happy. And it was moving around.
There you go.
And, like, up until this point, the Contis had the MVP gift with that bouncy chair, which she is in love with. But the fact that we got her in that other one, and it's just, she just, like, it. You don't have to do anything. You just push a button, and it rotates her. That was kind of a milestone. So I'm hoping she continues. Because, you can walk away with that one.
Yeah, Mel already setting the bar, man. She's already setting a high bar for herself. before you know it, it's like the neck muscles kick in. You know, oh, she's holding her head up.
Yeah. Aw, yes. All the milestones ahead of you.
All the milestones ahead of you, man. But I'm glad to hear it. I had to go on a journey yesterday, guys, to Ross, which I'm not very familiar with, to be quite frank. But too many people were like, go to Ross to find size 15 cleats.
We've Did you take Grant with you? He could have helped you.
No, I'm not that familiar. As a matter of fact, I had to like Google where a Ross was.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, man, where is a Ross?
Everybody needs to know where a Ross is.
I know, and there's one like right near a place where I used to live over in Perimeter, and I was like, oh, let me head over to Ross. But it's a solid store.
It is.
I walked in there, and sure enough, there were size 15 cleats.
As a Ross, oh, go ahead, Bo.
We tried to tell you this the other day, that that's where you go to find shoes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I called my buddy David Penny, who's a soccer coach, and I was like, yo, I need some cleats. And he was like, dude, I got all kinds of cleats. I don't have a size 15s, though. Like, who wears? Like, he was like, there's probably, like, Atlanta United themselves probably don't even have a size 15 on hand when in a soccer cleat. I was like, yeah, touche.
As a Ross veteran, I am proud to say I also found, I don't remember if mine were 14 or 15. They were one of the two, but I also found big cleats at Ross, man. So shout out to Ross.
Yeah.
And now you have the bug. I mean, next time you're going to have the frenzy where you're like, wait a minute, this shirt is $7? Let me look for more.
They were $25.
Yeah.
To like size 15 baseball
Ross
cleats.
But Ross is so clutch.
That's a whole other story. I actually walked my dog in the baseball cleats last night. I was like, dude, I got to break these things in. You know what I mean? Can't go cold turkey and just strap in and play a soccer game. So
how'd they feel?
Yeah. They felt fine. Fine is the word.
Yeah. Well, I know you know this, but they're still not going to be the way you want them.
Yeah. They're going to be better than they would have been. But, yeah,
dude,
it's going to be an uphill climb for the media match today.
I've got a pair of Nike cleats that I bought years ago for a three-piece suit. And I think I've worn them for four three-piece suit games, three or four of them, and they're still not broken. And it's the only time I've worn them. I mean, for some reason, like football cleats – I think football and soccer cleats take the longest to break in.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Let's pivot real quick, guys. We only got a few minutes left already. I don't know how this is already a thing in the first segment, but we do want to talk about a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons, Bo. And, you know, we're still kind of – I think, you know, as we go through it and with all the coordinators and assistant coaches speaking a couple of days ago, you still kind of filter through some of the sound. Well, as we're doing that yesterday and talking about what we want to talk about on the show today, the conversation about Zach Robinson talking about Bijan and it creating more explosive plays, that popped up. And let's revisit that sound from a couple of days ago.
No, that's something that, you know, we talked about it in season, and you're showing the representative clips of like, man, maybe we could close the space on this defender, this free safety, and not make the move from 8 to 10 yards away. Hey, how can you press that guy's heels or press his toes to make him feel uncomfortable where nobody's better in the NFL making short space, you know, area quickness moves on defenders. So I think it's just showing them the clips, you know, emphasizing it in the room with Coach Petrie and those guys. And but those are coming. We're not worried about, you know, the lack of explosives with that. Understand that that is the jump that we want to take. We're very efficient running the football. You start from a clean slate every single year, but that's definitely something we're emphasizing as offense. And the receivers, tight ends, O-line, everybody has a hand in that. You know, there's times where it's like, man, somebody just got loose. What if we finish that block and we can take it to the house? So everybody's got their hand in it. Run game takes all 11. And, we're definitely looking to hunt up some of those explosives in the run game for sure.
Yeah, I think the question has been since Bijan Robinson's been here is, who's at fault for him not breaking those big runs?
Right.
You know, like we've seen him. You just know. I think he had one in New Orleans last year. And if I remember the play correctly, he trucked someone running down that sideline.
Yeah.
And it just feels like he's always a cleaned up version would be just like a smidgen, right? Just a smidgen from break one. You see it, and then whatever it is, the gap closes. Whether it's a guy holding a block a millisecond longer, or maybe Bijan seeing the cut, just a smidgen before, it just feels like, for whatever reason, we get the 12-yard run instead of the 42-yard run. You know?
Yeah, I agree, and I think that was a big thing. I mentioned this yesterday a little bit, but when Arthur Smith drafted Bijan Robinson in the top 10. And everybody's like, well, Tyler Algier is already a 1,000-yard rusher. Why are we going to get a running back? This was the reason, right? Creating more explosives was the reason. And I think
in the pass game, too, though.
Well, for sure. For sure. You have, you know, a guy that has multiple tools. But I think that either way, you want to talk about the run game or the pass game, creating more explosives was the reason that Bijan Robinson was brought here. I don't think most people guys understand the directive, like the instructions that a running back or even a kick returner has when they get into open field. Like, I don't think most people that unless you know football, you don't understand really what those guys are trying to get done. When a runner breaks in an open field and there's one player left, and you heard Zach Robinson talk about Bijan squaring up a safety or pressing the toes of the safety, his job is to run right at the safety. Like, it's not to like try to outrun the safety most of the time or cut, you know, or juke the safety. The job is to run right at the safety and force the safety's shoulders to square up with you, right? So that they have to make their own decision, not to give them an angle and allow them to kind of, you know, create that V along the sideline. It's to square up. And I think that's what you heard Zach Robinson saying right there. All right, one more cut we want to get to as well, and that's talking about, you know, how this offense can be more explosive. It's not just about Bijan Robinson.
You know, I was telling some of these guys just the comfort knowing that, hey, we're a year into the system. The guys, there's a ton of continuity coming back. Last year, it was completely new system, a lot of new players, everybody kind of getting to know each other, learn each other. I know my coaching staff really well. I know our players really well. I know what we did well, you know, from a schematic standpoint, and what our guys can do, and what are some of the things that we can do going forward with a different quarterback. So it feels like once the offseason hit, I was like, man, this feels really nice to be able to just kind of, all right, let's set the table here. Let's get down to the finer details of what we're trying to get accomplished. And it's been a breath of fresh air. I got a buddy, Nick Cayley.
Oh, I'm curious what his buddy Nick to do with all this, but and I was kind of like, wait, what did Nick Cayley say?
It's like the Dale Jr. cut. What has Kyle Petty got to do with this?
I'm so excited for year two of Zach Robinson as a play caller because, look, he left us wanting at times, but also you could see the growth throughout the year, and now with a full year of Big Penix energy. And knowing that he can open up the offense. Now, the biggest pet peeve I had when people talk about Michael Penix is not when they bring up his injury history or his age, which, trust me, the age one is pretty high up there because it's the dumbest damn argument ever. But it is that people don't understand this guy was a dual-threat quarterback at Indiana, and the injuries and the lack of need for him to be a dual-threat quarterback at Washington under Kalen DeBoer made him this phenomenal pocket passer that he is. But he can do it. He can get outside the pocket. He can make plays with his legs. And him moving that pocket will create so much for this team, and I cannot wait to see that put in a huge – I mean, we're going to have Big Penix energy with a big – moving pocket package, Michael.
Yeah. Ooh, big pause.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we'll talk more about that, obviously, at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. We got to go to break right now. We come back, we'll hit the front page. Big NBA games last night. We got a bang in one of them. And the other one, how one head coaches simply had to make some phone calls to be able to force them. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yo, 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift rolling on. Allie's first week coming to a close. The reviews are in. Everybody loves Allie Mack. So I get five text messages a day. Allie's awesome, man. Like, yeah, what about me? Nah, not quite.
Anyways. I'm sure that's not the case.
I saw a buddy of mine last night, and he's like, he comes up to me, and he goes, "You like the new chick?" And I was like, "What, at the club? We got a new girl working at the club? What are you talking about?" He's like, "No, on your show."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably one of, like, the three or four people I've known the longest in radio, so she's not really the new chick to me.
Right.
But, yeah, man.
Yeah. Reviews are in.
So, welcome, new chick.
Yay! Glad to hear it. I love being the new chick.
We'll have the Allie's got a rookie report on hand for us coming up at 6:40. That'll be a lot of fun. More Falcons talk coming up at 7 o'clock. We also got Dyson Daniels later in the 8 o'clock hour, the most improved player in the NBA. And I'm going to ask him just straight off the top, like, what's the secret sauce?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, hey, man, let's just go through the numbers real quick. A slight uptick in steals, you know, like
right, exactly.
A slight uptick in steals this year. What's the secret sauce been, man? But nonetheless, fun show so far. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Hopefully you're having fun on the way to work. And like I said, a lot of fun stuff to get through throughout the show. I'm playing in the Atlanta United media match later today. Against the advice of all my friends and doctors, but nonetheless,
you hear Bo cackling.
I mean, I'm worried.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be sitting by the phone waiting for that call.
Yeah, well,
hey, Lindsay's got to get the kids. Can you? You think you can? You think you could swing? Is there any way you could
it's a distinct
swing
possibility.
By and bring me, you know, pick me up from the hospital?
A distinct possibility. I will say, and we got to get to the front page. Yesterday, I'm like talking to Abe Bowe, and this is the most Abe conversation of all time.
Here
Abe's like, Abe, I'm like, hey, you know, and I asked Abe, I was like, do people fight over like playing in goal? Because I wouldn't mind playing goalie. And he's like, you don't need to be in goal. I was like, oh, yeah, why? Like, you know, you want me out in the field or like run around? You wouldn't do it right. I was like,
I'll tell you what.
And he's like, you know, I just don't see you as like, you know, getting off the ground fast enough. Are you going to die? Like, are you going to dive? And I was like, I told Alex this morning, but I was like, I'm not the person to like, you know, drop an NFL on you. But I'm like, Abe, just call, like, I used to literally be a professional athlete. I don't need you to sit here and question any type of lateral movement I'm going to be able to make. All right. I think I can handle myself, but.
I gotta ask Allie how much, because and I need you to put, how much do you know about Abe, Allie?
I've learned a lot this week, honestly.
She has. She's gotten the Abe corner as we've exited the building a couple times.
Abe is literally one of those people that professionally I know for sure that if I need anything, Abe, we're in a bind. Yeah, man, let me walk Chipper real quick. I got you. Like, Abe is one of the most. He is probably one of. Other than I put Mike Conti and myself on here, but we don't count. But Abe is one of the two most reliable people in that building that I know if we need anything, Abe will do it. That said, that's almost like, with all due respect for me, he is so elite in his own mind at everything.
he's become
a caricature of himself. Like, because he's like, you're like, man, how about what's that panda that does the plates?
You know, the red panda.
Yeah. Abe's like, yeah, it's not that hard, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
All you gotta do is so if you read about it, you know. It's really just balance. Yeah. I mean, if you get the little rock motion on the unicycle, it's not that hard with your head.
Yeah, Abe's like the kind of guy that goes to Cirque du Soleil, and he's like, I mean, I see better stuff at Brook Run Park. You know, it's really not that that difficult.
And Allie, I'll tell you this. If you want to understand Abe, if you want to know who he is, Imagine growing up with a mother that's a judge and a dad that's a lawyer.
Goodness.
And a lot of that is why Abe is the contrarian, elite contrarian that he is.
Makes perfect sense.
All right, man, we got to hit the front page. Dylon, go for it.
Player of the year will not be denied.
Down to 12 seconds. Brunson holding. Knicks trying to wait till the end. Brunson puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the three.
Yeah, no wonder he is a clutch player of the year. The New York Knicks defeated the Detroit Pistons in Game 6. Of course, Jalen, as you just heard, hit a three-pointer, bringing the final score to 116-113. Up next, they're going to face the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson is a guy that, and I want to get Dylan's take on something here in a second about him, but two-time NCAA champion at Villanova. I mean, Mr. Clutch, he's been clutch. He was the one of the decade player of the year in college, or player of the decade in that 2010 to 2020 era. The guy's been a stud his whole career. He does it again. There was also kind of a moment in that game where a little bit of Malik Beasley, where he fumbles a pass literally at the end of the game, kind of that seals it, but. You know, Dylan, to me, Brunson was I don't want to discount what he did in Dallas, but they weren't even going to re-sign him, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
And now he goes to the Knicks, and he has a chance to put them into a series against. Oh, he put them in a series against Boston that has a chance to put them in their first conference finals since 2000.
Jalen Brunson has to your point, let's go back to when Jalen Brunson was first signed by the Knicks. Everybody was talking about, oh, they overpaid for him. This small guard can't, you know, be the face of your team, this, that, and the third. Karl-Anthony Towns didn't do much of anything last night. Jalen Brunson put that team on his back, hit the big shot, comes up in big moments, battles through injuries. He's battling through an ankle injury right now. And to me, I just always remember back to that video of that was released, I think, earlier this year where it's back in the day and his dad has him at the park just doing these drills over and over and over again. That has trained him for these moments. And so Jalen Brunson, never too big. Moment is never too big for him. And, man, he just continues to show that he is the Knicks guy. Karl-Anthony Towns was at peace to help them get over the hump, but this is Jalen Brunson's team.
Yeah, that was absolutely huge last night. Now, also, Clippers beat the Denver Nuggets 111-105. And apparently, I love this, Tyrone Lue got the positivity going and called all the guys, he's the head coach, the day before the game to get the good vibes going. And, guys, it worked. James Harden scored 28 points, forcing a Game 7, and that is going to go down Saturday in Denver.
This has been the best series to me. Tyronn Lue's little positivity talk helped because someone finally got a clutch game out of James Harden in an elimination game in the playoffs, and especially with how just pathetic he kind of looked in Game 5. this is a guy that hasn't really done a lot in those types of games. So this has been the best series. I'm excited for Saturday night's game because I think you're going to get the walk-in triple double. And I'm very interested in what Russell Westbrook comes with off the bench, maybe to help shut down his old buddy, James Harden.
Absolutely, Bo. And look, Tyronn Lue must have told James Harden where the Fountain of the Youth was too, because it looked like James Harden got a glass of that the way he was cooking last night. I mean, that step back three was looking like how it was back when he was a MVP for Houston, and he was cooking. And Bogey hit a big three too as well, our old friend. He kind of hit that dagger three at the end of the game, so shout out to Bogey. But like Bo said, this series has been the best, and I'm almost sad it's going to end, but like Bo said, I am going to have my eyes glued to the TV on Saturday. And if I'm the Nuggets, Jokic, obviously the offense is going to run through him, but the keys to the game are going to be like what it was, a game, I think five it was, game five, where Westbrook, like you said, Bo, did his thing off the bench. And Jamal Murray, he's got to have a big game too. He doesn't have to have 40, but he's got to go well too. Otherwise, the Nuggets could be in big trouble at home.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Did you guys see yesterday after the game too, James Harden? I think he played like 47 minutes. He's like yawning in the post-game presser. It's like, dude, it's so on brand.
Man, I was tired.
On a day where J.J. Redick's like, we got to get in championship shape. We got to get in playoff shape. You know, LeBron's like, I'm not even gonna. I'm not even gonna talk on that.
JJ Redick had a wonderful way of blaming everything and everyone but himself.
Yeah, especially when he's all over multiple sports channels and they're calling. You know, he's saying he was a petulant child the way he managed that team through that round of basketball. Man, funny stuff.
Yeah, when Brian Windhorst calls you out,
yes.
it's normally not good. Well, this is the thing where JJ Redick has He went out and he was on TV and he was the smartest guy on TV and he had no problem calling out people like Doc Rivers, deservedly so. But now you're going to reap what you sow.
Yeah, you definitely are. And real quick, 7:15 tonight, you'll get the Dodgers versus the Braves in another matchup between two what was preseason World Series favorites. You'll get Yamamoto, who, check this, has a 1.06 ERA versus Grant Holmes tonight. So important for the Braves to get that offense cranking, get runs when they can, man. Can't not hit runners in scoring position tonight. Be keeping our eyes locked on that game. We got to go to break. When we come back, Allie's going to give us her rookie report, which I can only imagine is going to be electric considering how her first week has gone here. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft as well and college football. And some of the stories you thought would be big going into the draft just weren't. And we'll have some really interesting stats coming up about that on the other side of the break. Hey, stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. The Allie Mack Attack is back, and she'll be doing a rookie report. Just one second. We're also, in 5 minutes or so, going to get into an interesting conversation about college football and the NFL draft and what it takes to actually get to that level. And some of the things that we think are red flags in this new era of college football, not red flags anymore. It's just going away, and we'll have that conversation coming up in a minute. We also, like we talked about, we'll have Dyson Daniels coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I just want to know, dude, like, what's the hand-eye drill look like? You know what I mean? Where can I get in on that? My son's 4.5. It's time to start the drills. You know what I mean? Start hitting off a tee in the backyard, getting that swing, in the swing right. I've also semi-forced my kid to be left-handed. Semi.
Why?
You know what I mean? He was interested in being left-handed. And so he has this freckle on his wrist, and I was just straight up like, hey, next time you do something, you do it with the freckle hand. Straight up. And now, like, we're playing catch in the backyard, and he'll just be like, nope, there it is. All right, let me throw it. Nah. And just throws a ball. I'm like, all right, cool. All right, there he is.
So are you basically training him to be ambidextrous? Is his dominant hand his right hand?
So, like, here's the thing. He used to throw things with his left hand, but he would write in color. I'm sorry. He used to throw things with his right hand. He would write in color with his left hand. And I would be like, all right, dude.
So
like,
he might be naturally ambidextrous.
Just rip the Band-Aid off, man. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be left-handed. Check this out. It's going to be the best thing I ever did for you.
Well, and sometimes you got to watch that, because that happened to my sister. She's ambidextrous because she took tennis lessons, and it basically was, she's an itty-bitty little girl, and it's like, put the tennis racket in your right hand when she's left-handed.
Yeah.
So she learned that way.
You know what was the craziest thing? And I can't wait to hear your rookie report, but one of the craziest things I've had to do was find a pair of left-handed kid scissors.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
That's
like,
an odd item.
You don't even think about that. But he's like, you know, he's trying to cut with scissors and is like, ugh. Like, either way, it's like so awkward. But
bet Ned Flanders had him.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll get to some of the college football, NFL stuff coming up here in a minute. But Allie, take it away. I'm so curious how your first week has been.
My first week has been amazing, but I have observed quite a bit around here. So I've got a few statements. Feel free to comment on my observations I have taken down here at 92.9 The Game. Up first, this is just a general statement for all the homegrowns. We Atlantans are maybe just a little too overprotective of Outkasts.
Yeah, a little bit. Slightly. Felt like an outsider.
Yeah, your top five Tuesday list. I mean, there was just an attack on Twitter for you, Mike, and I'm so sorry that Atlantans came for you that way.
Yeah. I included ATLians.
No, absolutely not. Because we're not too protective of Outkast, Allie. I disagree slightly. I think what it is if you're going to do a list of the best songs, we want to hear deep cuts. True fans don't take the top 40.
Well, I think what Bo's trying to say is when I did the list, I gave you the
a fringe fan list.
No, what's the TripAdvisor? Is that what it's called? The website where you get the tourist info when you're going to a town? You're like, what's the best place to eat? And they give you the tourist trap.
Yes.
Like, Vo doesn't want the tourist trap. You know what I mean? He wanted the what the locals know about the cuisine. That's fine. Hey, live and learn for me. I learned a lesson on that one.
Yeah, well, listen to more Outkasts.
Another thing I picked up on this week, if you need a ride to the airport, Mike is going to be a great friend, a good buddy. He will take you as far as the next MARTA station. That is as far as you're going.
Dude, 1,000%. 1,000% at the top of my rules. Why am I getting into traffic that you only have to go one way? Why am I getting stuck in traffic on the way home? Yeah, I'll drop Doraville, North Springs. Like, let me get you that spot, Lindbergh. Whoa. Like, I know the whole map. I will drop you off wherever you need to go. But when we get close to the downtown connector, Bo, you're riding the MARTA the rest of the freaking way.
That's the problem. That's part of it. Like, you know that, hey, I'm being a good friend because I'm going to get some payback. But if you drop someone off halfway there, you're only going to get half of a favor back from them. I mean, come on, dude.
Another observation I had on my first week in my rookie report is that, Bo, if you needed to choose another profession, I believe you could take on defusing bombs because considering how well you are handling pork chop and you MacGyvered, was it the Bariza the other day?
Yeah,
you had little time to spare and you handled it under pressure.
You know what? I appreciate that. I just had to go do some more work on that, by the way.
It was either he could defuse bombs or Ding. he could also do hors d'oeuvres at like a wedding. You know what I mean? Just stick the toothpicks in whatever you need to.
The bedside manner Bo would have with handing out hors d'oeuvres. Do you want it or not?
Yeah, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Oh. Are you going to take the thing or not?
Come on. All right. Another observation funny. I have is, Bo, this could relate to you as well. I just haven't seen you here. You're remote right now. But Mike can predict exactly what Abe Gordon's response to anything is going to be.
Yeah. It's simple. It's going to be that Abe could do it, and it would be simple. That's what his response to everything is. Abe, what do you mean? I don't know. If I was doing it, I'd be done in 2 minutes. Like, you just take it from there.
Allie, wait till you get, when somebody says something and you know the Abe face is coming where he has this half smile and an eye roll, and you just know that some smart-ass comment's about to fall out of his mouth. I mean, it's amazing. And look, y'all think we're picking – don't think we're picking on Abe.
No, I love Abe.
It's just because we love him and we know him so well.
He's the most interesting guy in Atlanta.
But he's also – like, y'all think that I'm easy to read or, predictable? When you know Abe – it's the most predictable thing in the world.
That's a good call.
Debates on the show often end up in the bullpen after the show.
Yeah.
Like Mike and Bo the other day when I was doing, what's it called? Which One Wednesday.
Yes.
And I asked you, what would Bo do with 10,000 bees if he had unlimited access in Home Depot? Apparently you guys chose violence, and Bo Johnson had a major issue with that.
Oh,
as soon as we walked out of the studio.
Bo Johnson was hot with us about this.
Let me guess, he's a beekeeper.
No, well, essentially. He's like, dude, bees are the key to life. How could you kill 10,000 bees? It's like, that's not like part of the equation, dude. It's like, he's also, if you're in that situation, if you get stung by 10,000 bees, you probably die. So it's like kind of a do or die situation.
Yeah.
No, just get the queen, wipe the queen away, let the other ones continue to pollinate. I'm like,
don't they all die if the queen dies, or is that just ants?
Sounds like a Saints fan. Sounds like a Saints fan.
Here's the problem for me when people go that way. We are all the key to life. We're all one giant ecosystem, but we have to be regulated. You get too much of one thing or too little of one thing, and it's bad.
You chose such a deeper route on that than I would have. I'm just straight up like, dude, it was Which One Wednesday.
Yeah,
you know, it's 10,000 bees. You're going to die. Like, it's all
I'm
good.
I'm allergic to bee stings, dog. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to burn them to hell.
Have you not seen My Girl, Bo Johnson? Come on. Thomas
whoa,
J.
Whoa, whoa.
She went on to a great role in Veep.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, the girl from My Girl, Anna Chumsley or whatever her name is, she was great in that TV show Veep on HBO.
Wow, I don't think I ever put that together.
She's popped up in a lot of things.
Of course, it's been a solid 30 years since I've seen My Girl. But,
what child needs to ever watch that again?
Yeah,
why
no
did
thanks.
They do that?
Yeah,
no
what
thanks.
A dramatic movie. Maybe that's what started Macaulay Culkin's downslide.
All right, final observation I have for my rookie report. First week here at 92.9 The Game. So the eighth wonder of the world is right here at Colony Square. when you enter the parking deck, your windows fog up. Oh, nobody can explain it or how to handle the situation.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know how sometimes you get a headache because it's seasonal? You know what I mean? Like, you're like, man, the pressure outside, I don't know what it is. Like, the temperature's changing rapidly. Like, that's exactly what happens to your windshield. You're like, oh, it's just too much.
Allie, Mike couldn't understand when we first started the show why I always came in with my windows down.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
that's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah. Very fair point.
I did take Dylan's advice this morning. I had the defogger ready to go as soon as I was coming in. I feel like it helped a little bit.
Do not take Dylan's advice on car care. I would just throw that out there.
Yeah. That was an unnecessary shot, see? Unnecessary shot.
We could have just
kept it pushing without that.
Maybe you can use his defogger advice, but definitely don't ask him how to handle a traffic accident because he will give you the worst advice. Man, just give me a call. We'll connect later on that.
That's fair.
Need your police report.
That's fair.
Might have something about that in Fair or Foul Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome, man. Allie's going to host Fair or Foul Friday coming up at 7:40. Good job. Happy to have you, Allie. So happy that you're part of the crew. And it's been a good first week, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
The reviews, like I said, the reviews are so solid.
Cool.
My wife's like, isn't Allie just a breath of fresh air? I'm like, yes, she really is. She really, really is in the mornings. We are happy to have her. All right, so I want to get this.
Can we get this once a week for the first year?
Rookie report? Rookie report, absolutely. I will make a rookie report every week.
A weekly summation of the morning shift.
After a year, we'll just call it Allie's weekly report or something like that. But for right now, it's the rookie report because, welcome to the shift, rookie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a good week. I do want to get in a little bit, guys. We want to talk about this report, and I think this was brought up. I don't remember who put out this tweet yesterday that you guys were sending along, but it was very interesting about, and we're talking about, the guys that are going early in the draft, how many times and how many different schools they are playing for. And I think it's interesting to look at, and I kind of brought this up yesterday as we're talking about, how many people have transferred inside of college football? And before the last few years, it was zero at the top of the draft when you talked about first overall picks. And it goes back to a conversation, in my opinion, that we were all having about Cam Ward. I think a lot of people forgot about this, after the bowl season in December and early January, of the conversations around Cam Ward. And Cam Ward opts out of his bowl game at halftime. He opted out of his bowl game at halftime. And a lot of people were like, NFL teams don't like that. They want guys that are willing to compete, come in. You're not being a good teammate, whatever else. Well, the summation of it is nobody was talking about that during the draft. Like, zero people even considered the fact that Cam Ward opted out of his bowl game at halftime. And so I think the stuff is interesting when you look at it. Cam Ward goes number one in the 2025 NFL draft. That's been a trend here recently. Other guys that have transferred, obviously Caleb Williams went from Oklahoma to USC, Joe Burrow, Ohio State to LSU, Kyler Murray back in 2019, remember he was a transfer as well, and then Baker Mayfield, who went from Texas Tech to Oklahoma. They were all transfer quarterbacks. But before that, guys, Jeff George in 1990, and I remember Troy Aikman going from Oklahoma to, I think it was UCLA back in 1989. So I guess the thought process here, Bo, is that what once we thought mattered a lot more doesn't even seem to be an afterthought in this day and age in the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's also easier because of how they don't have to wait anymore, and it used to kind of hamper them. But I think with some of these guys, it's not running from competition. It's going to a better situation to compete at maybe a higher level or for a team that you have a chance to win a title from. So it's not as frowned upon. But where it's frowned upon is when guys don't want to compete and then they go. But it's really helped some of these guys put themselves on the map. I mean, Cam Ward transferred three times, if I'm not mistaken. Because he went somewhere, went to Washington State, right?
Yeah, where was he for? Was it Incarnate Word or something like that?
Yeah, it was a smaller school for sure, Mike.
Yeah.
But he kind of made a name for himself, and then they were like, hey, go chase a championship at the University of Miami. Come here. And it was University of the Incarnate Word. It was a good call, Mike. And it kind of made him – so it kind of was a progression for him.
Yeah.
But, I thought Caleb Williams would be the one that would be weird because because it just kind of felt weird, but he was following a coach, and look at him. It helped him too. I just don't know. I think the Florida State thing for what you talked about with the players where decided to just opt out of stuff.
Yeah, the Orange
that
Bowl.
One was the tipping point for me, because when you didn't see it hurt some of those guys,
yeah,
I don't think it could hurt anybody.
Yeah,
that.
Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, like all these conversations around all these players getting out. And on the flip side of that, we talked just yesterday about Jordan Travis not being able to continue his football career. Not that it happened in a bowl game, but we've seen that happen in bowl games, right?
Let me ask you guys this. How can you criticize a player for opting out of a bowl game when we see them opt out of workouts and you know, for NFL interviews, essentially?
Well,
so how can you say, well, that's not, you know, that shouldn't hurt you, but playing in a bowl game that's meaningless should?
I didn't necessarily think it would hurt Cam Ward, but I was critical of him doing this at halftime, and there's a number of reasons why. First and foremost, I think that has to go away. I think the whole thing, hopefully when contracts come around with NIL, I think that has to go away. And here's why. There are other people on that roster that also want to get drafted, right, and are trying to help their draft stock. So if you're a wide receiver and your quarterback is the number one draft pick, like, hey, dude, how about you stay and throw me the ball? I'd like my numbers to be pretty good as well, and I think there's a lot of conversation that needs to surround that. I understand why Cam Ward does. I'm not saying Cam Ward was wrong for doing it, but there's also this thing, like, why halftime? Like, why play at all? And I think that's another conversation. Like I said, I hated when Caleb Williams, there was talk about Caleb Williams opting out of the second half of the season 2 years ago. I was like, dude, like, you have to at least at some point think about your teammates.
And that was never what Caleb Williams was going to do. That was somebody clout chasing, or a guy clout chasing on TV. Can I ask you real quick, though? Would you have had less a problem with the way the Cam Ward thing went down had Miami been up front with it to begin with?
Yes. And I know that there's, like, you know, game plan and stuff that goes along with it. But at this point, are you trying to win the game? Like, if you're taking out Cam Ward at halftime, does it even matter if you're winning, or is it just an exhibition at that point? Like, that's my problem with it. And I would if they're just up front, like, here's the game plan and we want to eventually get to the other quarterback and everything else, okay, fine. But, you know, obviously that Carson Beck's there for a reason, and they went out in the portal and got another quarterback anyway. So, it's funny, man, because it was all this conversation, all the rage 4 or 5 months ago, and it's not even been mentioned here recently. Some numbers real quick from Cole Kuehl before we go to break. 18 transfers in 2019. In 2020 and 2021, that jumps up to 24. How about 78 transfers drafted in 2024 and 93 in 2025? Our buddy Rusty Mansell says that will double in the next 2 years, the amount of people that are transferring. It has to. Everybody's transferring these days and trying to get that bag. Don't blame them, but it is what it is. A lot of Atlanta Falcons conversation on the other side. How the Atlanta Falcons can create more explosives by doing the same things they did a year ago. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.